their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion we have each and every day as we face the issues. It is our prayer and our commitment to this broadcast each day that you would hear what we're saying, listen, heed, learn, and be challenged by what is taking place in our world based on a central biblicist worldview. As we look at the scripture, everything that's taking place nationally, locally, and internationally, globally, we should view it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word tells us past, present, and future what God has done, is doing, and shall do. We need to look at God's Word to understand what is taking place. We have a lot of things happening simultaneously in America today and around the globe. Have you noticed that we have the war that's just reignited in Israel? Bombing in Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. You have the leftists that are claiming that that's all Trump's fault. It's all Benjamin Netanyahu's fault, and it should cease and stop. You have those that are complaining because Trump is trying to wind down and settle the war between Russia and Ukraine. Somehow, some way, it is the Trump derangement syndrome because the Trump effect is taking place, it's driving some people crazy. It looks like to me, ladies and gentlemen, that those on the left are against everything that is moral, ethical, biblical, and ought to be viewed as being profitable and beneficial for America. We're talking about those things that are happening today. Right now, we're finding through the Trump administration that we are dropping ordnance on Yemen and those that are the Houthis, controlled by Iran. He's already told Iran, if you get into it, we're going to come back against you. He's already put Iran on notice and all of the mullahs that's in charge that you cannot get a nuclear weapon. The Trump administration, as I've said many times before, is literally the new sheriff in town. And the Trump derangement syndrome folks on the left, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, can't seem to understand that we are now going back to a fundamental basis of what does the Constitution say for the running, the carrying out of our government. Today we're going to talk about an issue that I believe should be on the top of the mind of every constitutionalist, every conservative, every Christian, every patriot in America, if we're going to see America sustain itself and not be overturned, overthrown, or destroyed by the left. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue, lawlessness from the bench. Lawlessness from the bench. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we're going to open our mics. We have a special guest today we'll introduce in just a moment. But I think he's going to be able to help us shine some light on what is taking place, how we should view those judges that are involved in the Trump derangement syndrome. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of it or not. We have, I think it's 179, maybe 180 appeals court judges across America, each one in a different circuit, each one in a different district, with the responsibility of resolving issues in their districts. I emphasize that because it's important for our edification today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we view what is taking place, we need to recognize the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And we've just come out of a state of mourning with 4 years of Sleepy Joe in charge. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to understand what Trump is doing is bringing light to the subject. It is bringing a sense of happiness and joy and a recognition of new hope for each and every day for America under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump. In Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, that is being right, doing that which is good and godly. Exalted, that means to build up, to lift up, to glorify, to edify any nation. But ladies and gentlemen, sin is a reproach to any people. Reproach there means to dishonor, to shame, to insult. And that's what we've seen, and that's what we're seeing now coming out of the closets and through the judgeships of those today that have Trump derangement syndrome and are wanting to attack what Trump is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the truth book, the Bible, we see in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 makes a declaratory statement about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And then further, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Scripture points out the fact the truth of the Lord endures forever. And that should bring happiness, encouragement, strength, and light to the heart and lives of every individual. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the publication of the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Published by George Orwell, the secularist publication was out about 47, 48, 49, but the title was 1984, and it was Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that is true, and truth matters. And yet we have those in the millennial age group today that 55% of the millennial age group make a statement, a frightening statement. They say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as absolute truth. There can never be a resolution to any case. There can never be a resolution to any debate. There can never be a resolution to any court case. There can never be a resolution to anything that would be called right, wrong, et cetera, in the world. We have truth, and it's the truth book, the Bible, that we need to go to for answers in that realm. But 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. It was Jan Hus, by the way, when he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, truth shall prevail. And may I say to you today, truth shall prevail. As we look at what is happening with the Trump administration, when we see what is taking place with the attempt to undermine, tear down, and destroy what President Trump is doing, I believe truth shall prevail. That might take a few weeks, a few months, a few lawsuits, a few court cases, et cetera, but I believe truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole, flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage for where we're going. We're going to talk about some of the issues that's taking place, what's happening with Doge, what Elon Musk is doing, at the direction, under the auspices of the, and the leadership of Donald J. Trump, our president. He's not going out there winging it by himself. He cannot be impeached, as some on the left are challenging. He is not doing something for pay. I noticed one of the degenerates that was in some of the demonstration out in front of a Tesla dealership said, Elon Musk is getting paid. Elon Musk is not getting paid for what he's doing. In fact, I have to tell you, I admire him, respect him for doing what he's doing at the risk of his own business. You realize Tesla stock has dropped about 47% in the past 6 weeks as a result of what Elon Musk is doing to help save America, financially speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned that we're seeing everything that President Trump does. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, the court system being malused, if I can use that term, watching the court system interjecting itself into the constitutional responsibility of President Donald J. Trump. Even these judges in black robes, ladies and gentlemen, appear to have Trump derangement syndrome. It's the Trump effect that's causing these federal appeals court judges to readily file suit and attempt to stop, stall, or some way sabotage or stagnate President Trump's process of draining the swamp and cleaning the sewer in the federal system. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as we see what Doge has done under the leadership of President Trump, I'm going to read a couple of articles, then introduce our guests so that we've got plenty of time to discuss the real issue that we're talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, I don't know if you've been paying attention to it. It's fascinating to watch. Look at the headline, vacant, void, and of no effect. Trump destroys Biden's pardons for his family and the Democrats. President Donald J. Trump on Monday declared a vast list of pardons issued by Joe Biden on his way out of the door of the White House to be vacant, void, vacuous, and no further force or effect. It's because those pardons to a long list of his own family members, predominantly including his son Hunter Biden, who was convicted of gun charges, felonies, and pleaded guilty to a list of tax charges and was facing possible prison time, were done by auto pen. Further, the article states, the pardons that sleepy Joe Biden gave to the unselect committee of political thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacuous, vacate, vacant, and of no further force or effect. I could go on and on with the article, but the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that Hunter Biden has gone to some place, I believe it's in South Africa. Hunter Biden, his sister, Joe Biden, et cetera, all of those, I think it's 10 or 12 in the Biden family, all were pardoned at the last minute. Now, I can do a little parenthetical footnote on that. I believe all those pardons were drawn up by someone with the input other than Joe Biden. I believe most of the work that Joe Biden did with his executive orders and with the capping it off with the pardons, I believe that was done, as we're finding now, with auto pen. And many of them, I believe Biden could not tell you what they were about. All of this came about, by the way, when Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, in a conversation with Joe Biden, talked about his signing the executive order to block LNG pipelines. And Joe Biden said, I didn't do that. And he said, but sir, here's the executive order. It has your signature. And he said, I didn't do that. Joe Biden didn't even know anything about it. And ladies and gentlemen, I am persuaded that based on the tip of the iceberg that we're experiencing and that we're witnessing coming unveiled, that is just the tip of the iceberg in reality. And the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the executive orders by Joe Biden and the pardons, Biden did not have the cognitive ability to know, say, or do that. I believe it was the auto pen used because Joe Biden, as we've known for 4 years before he left the White House, that he was incapable, did not have the knowledge, the ability, and the cognitive recollection to be able to do anything as president. but yet they were claiming in the past year of his presidency in particular that he was on his on target, that he knew what he was doing. He was very alert, very sharp, etc., but doesn't remember any of these executive orders. I believe there needs to be a deposition. Joe Biden needs to be at the table and have order after order after order, et cetera, before him. And one at the time said, you remember this? What is this? When did you sign this? Et cetera, et cetera. I believe that needs to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little tidbit of the whole barrage of what is taking place today that's uncovering, unfurling, unwrapping the socialist, Marxist, communist party known as the Democrats and what they've done for the past 4 years and before the 4 years of Joe Biden. So today, as we talk about the lawlessness from the bench, I want us to focus on what is taking place as a result of Doge. I'm looking at an article, Doge slices $620,000 from the pregnancy program. Listen. For transgender boys, the Department of Government Efficiency, Doge, under the fearless leadership of Elon Musk and the Trump administration, has taken a sledgehammer to yet another pile of taxpayer-funded lunacy. This week, Doge announced, and according to the posting on X, that the National Institute of Health, NIH, had slashed funding for a slew of controversial tax-funded research grants, including a staggering $620,000 for a so-called pregnancy prevention program for biological females identifying as transgender boys. And it goes on further, listing millions upon millions of dollars that have been squandered and wasted in that realm. Ladies and gentlemen, we recognize today that America has been under the thumb, under the oversight, under the control of the socialist Marxist left for many years now. And because it's being uncovered, because President Trump, that God divinely intervened and placed him back in the office as the 47th president, President Trump, with the wisdom I believe that only God could give, with the strength that I believe only God could provide, and the wherewithal as only God could provide for him, is uncovering these things, I believe, for the benefit, the blessing, and for the promulgation, and for the survival of the United States of America. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we see this taking place. But my question, setting the stage for our guest, are the Democrats afraid of having their money laundering system revealed? Are the Democrats really wanting to continue to brainwash and sexualize our children in school? Are the Democrats unwilling to stop the males from entering the girls' locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms, and girls' sports? And the answer to those questions, yes. I believe they want to continue in the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I believe the Democrats are willing to have millions upon millions of illegal invaders in our country to continue to rape, rob, murder our citizens. And yes, I believe the Democrats as a whole are now defending the perceived rights of illegals rather than protecting our citizens. President Trump has had about 100 suits filed against him and every move that he's made since he's been in office. So the question is, the bottom line is, are we witnessing the lawlessness from the bench carried out by men or women in a black robe that somehow, some way feel that they have the authority to countervene in all that the president is doing and try to counter, undermine, tear down, and destroy from a single judge? As one writer put it, one small judge in one small state, in one small county, in one small office with a black robe on, feeling that somehow, some way, he can control the executive office and circumvent the constitutional responsibility of President Donald J. Trump. That's the question. I'm thankful today, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative of District 1 and the Florida House. I'm thankful that he is knowledgeable and has the wisdom that I believe God has given. And it's always a joy, always a blessing for us to have him take time out of a busy schedule to join us. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today as we talk about this very serious issue that I believe needs to be unpeeled so that our listeners can understand what we're faced with. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's an honor and a pleasure. And as I was preparing for our discussion today, Dr. Youngblood, I just took a look at our Constitution. And if you go to the Supreme Court website, the Department of Justice website, you will see a statement that says they are a co-equal branch of government. That's not true. That is false. They are not a co-equal branch of government. Our founding fathers intended for the legislative branch to be predominant. And a reason for that is because they are the closest to the people. You can pick up the phone and call one of your state representatives. It's impossible for you to pick up the phone and call a cabinet member, unless you're a friend, or the president. It's impossible for you to call someone on the Supreme Court. But you can call your state legislator. You can make an appointment and meet with them. It might be difficult, but you can do it. And so when you look at the enumerated powers, which are spelled out in the Constitution for each branch of government, the legislative branch has the most that they are able to do. Next comes the executive branch. The least powers that were given was to the judicial branch. And the reason for that is our founding fathers wanted to control the judiciary. When you read the Declaration of Independence and the grievances that are stated there, there were four, more than any other, four grievances listed against judges, corrupt judges at that time. And they are still corrupt. And what we are seeing, Dr. Youngblood, are these judges who are trying to usurp their authority. When you read Article 3, which lists the enumerated powers for the judicial branch, there is nowhere listed there that they have the authority to take these actions that they are doing right now against Trump. You didn't see any of these judges doing these actions during the Biden administration. None of them. And partly is because Republicans at that time knew that the judiciary did not have that sort of authority and didn't try to use them. Even when they did try, because of the stolen election in 2020, these judges, and I would venture to say some of the very same ones, tossed the cases out of court and said, you don't have standing. Now, how on earth, all of a sudden, do you have standing to be able to tell President Trump, you cannot deport terrorists out of our country, that a terrorist gang cannot be deported out of our country? And then he has the audacity, I heard just this morning, where he is demanding from President Trump, from the executive branch, an explanation of why they defied his orders. I don't know who this person is or who he thinks he is. But here's the cure for that, Dr. Youngblood. Congress needs to start filing articles of impeachment against these judges. Federal judges do not have a lifetime appointment. The Supreme Court judges do not have lifetime appointments. Article 3 of our Constitution says they have their positions as long as they display good behavior. Mm-hmm. They can be impeached if they do not display good behavior. And there have been times in the past where judges have been impeached for not displaying good behavior. There are instances of judges being impeached because of foul language that they used in public. And what happens is you don't need to impeach a lot of them. You only need to impeach one, two, a few of them here and there, the refs will get the picture and they'll stop this nonsense of stepping beyond their authority and trying to tell President Trump, you can't do this, we're going to block this, you have no authority to do that. And I understand there are some members, Republican members in Congress, who have filed some articles of impeachment. Not enough. I think I've only heard of one, maybe two. But there needs to be a lot more. And in particular, against this one judge who not only is telling Trump, you can't deport these illegals, then he goes on to say, you better turn that plane around. Then he goes on to say, tell me, I demand, and you tell me in 3 days why you didn't turn that plane. Why did you defy my orders? Again, I don't know who this, he has delusions of grandeur, who this guy thinks he is, but someone needs to look at him very closely and put him back in his proper position.
Well, one of the things, Congressman Hill, that I view, and I don't know this firsthand, but just my observation and sense of it, of course, we realize this is a liberal judge. We realize it's a Democratic judge, and judges are supposed to act with a judiciary responsibility, nonpartisan, without a political bias. And yet we see what I believe is the results of political bias. Now, here's the question, Congressman Hill, that I have toyed with now for several days. If I'm correct, I believe we have about 179 appeals court judges across America, about 179 of them. And as I understand it, in the research on the appeals court process, let me just see if I can pull the document here. United States Court of Appeals. This article is about federal appellate court judges and the system since 1912. For the pre-1912 system, it was called the United States Circuit Courts. It goes further. Divided into 13 circuits, 11 of the circuits enumerated first through the 11th and cover geographical areas of the United States, and they're to hear appeals from the U.S. District Courts within their borders. The District of Columbia Circuit covers only D.C., there are 179 judgeships in the U.S. on the Court of Appeals. That's about a five-page article telling about the duties, the responsibilities, but over and over it talks about for cases that are brought in their circuit, cases that are brought under their judiciary responsibility, cases that are brought to them in the courts in their circle of responsibility. And yet we have 179. And this just kind of whack-a-mole that one decides that I'm going to file suit against this particular case against Trump. I'm going to file suit because of what he's done with Doge. I'm going to file suit because of what he's done with firing federal employees. I'm going to file this suit because of this illegal with a green card that's advocating against America, et cetera, et cetera. And already 100-plus suits have been filed. My question is, should President Donald J. Trump, number one, ignore these judges that do not have the responsibility and or the authority? Should he just ignore it?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, a judge does not have the authority to order anything from the other branches, executive mm-hmm. or legislative branch. They can give an opinion, mm-hmm. but those opinions carry no force of the purse or the sword behind them, and they can be ignored. No, in fact, Joe Biden ignored the Supreme Court when they told him that he could not the loans, the student loans, that he couldn't forgive the student loans. He did it anyway. And pressed on with it. And so, yes, there are in those instances where those judges have stepped beyond their authority, and that was brilliant that you mentioned that, Dr. Youngblood, and the author of that article is absolutely correct. It's only within their jurisdiction, within their district. They have no authority beyond that.
They have usurped their authority because they have black robes and their appeals court judges. Somehow, some way, because the Trump derangement syndrome, they've decided to utilize that. And I'm going to, right after the top of the hour news break, I'm going to talk about what some so-called brilliant scholar on CNN said that should happen if he defies the court order. Congressman Hill, hold for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. We'll be right back, right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.